could all stand to our feet tonight. Turn to your Bibles. If you have your Bible with you, turn to the book of Acts chapter 4. We're going to be reading verses 31 through 33. As Brother Ben was up here making announcements and he made a reference to his wife, I looked back there and I saw Stephanie lip these words, "Oh my word, Ben." If you know anything about Stephanie Thompson, that's a very common statement. Oh my word, Ben. Acts 4, 31 through 33. "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say of any of these things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power," everybody say, "and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken." Everybody say, "Shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord." Now turning to Acts chapter 16, 25 through 33, we're reading the story of Paul and Silas. We've all, maybe over the years, you've heard the story, told it in their Sunday school class. Paul and Silas were thrown in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here they are in prison at midnight. And it says in 25, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing that the prison doors were open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And he knew at this time that this Philippian jailer knew that something in that jail cell had happened that was of the supernatural. It was not something of the natural, but he sensed something in the supernatural. And he said, 'What must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house.' And they spake unto him the word of God and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, all his straightway." And straightway meant right away. Wasted no time. Soon as they heard this gospel, they repented of their sins. They were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They were baptized straightway. Right away. As should you be. Straightway. You may be seated. I don't know about you tonight, church, but when I look into the book of Acts, and I look into the early church, the church we understand and read and know through biblical history, that the book of Acts was the beginning of the church. We are living the book of Acts. The book of Acts, even though when you look in your scripture, you can read to the very end of the book of Acts is continuing here tonight. The same power that they had then is here tonight, and it's available tonight. The same supernatural power that they had to shake their world then, we have to shake our world now. The title of my message tonight is Shakers, Not Shaken. I want to be someone that is a shaker. I want to be someone that has the power and the authority to shake the world around me. I don't want the world around me to shake me. I want to shake it. And the more we live and the more we breathe, we need to be shakers, not shaken. The most, when you look at Peter and John as they went to the temple gate, and the missionary Sister White spoke of this, and in a little bit different text, but they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, saying, I don't have money for you tonight. If you come here tonight and you say, I need a gas card, Pastor, I need some grocery money, I may have to look at you and say, I don't have a gas card and I don't have grocery money, but such as I have, give I thee. I got something that's so much greater than $10 worth of gas, and I got something that's so much greater than a loaf of bread and a ring of bologna. I got the power of the Holy Ghost, and you can have it too. You want power? You can get power. You can get all the power you need and all the power you desire. You can be a shaker, not shaken in your circumstance. I love the early church, their faith and their confidence. They had such confidence. Everywhere they went with boldness. They didn't go into a neighborhood kind of a little bit, maybe timid and shy. They went in, and they went in with boldness. They went in with power. God used them for His glory. Peter preached at Pentecost, the very first time he ever preached a message, and 3,000 people were saved. Not long after that, the Bible says in Acts that 5,000 souls were added, and you take all the miracles, all the signs and wonders that followed them. Peter became such a powerhouse that when he walked down State Street in the city of Damascus or wherever he was ministering, that when the shadow fell upon the people, they were healed. What a affliction they had. That's power. The power was working through Peter. The power was working through all of the apostles. The power was working through the church. And Acts 2:47 says that the Lord added to the church daily as such as should be saved. They had growth. They had great growth. And everywhere they went, people were filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, how we need church today. Oh, how we need friend of mine, sinner, saint of God. How we need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need the boldness. We need that power in the hour that we live in today. They were persecuted. It didn't come without a price. They were persecuted. When you read in Acts chapter 5, Peter was thrown. They were thrown into prison. And they was called before the Sanhedrin. And they were told to stop preaching Jesus. And after they were released, the Sanhedrin goes back to their duties in the temple. And where do the disciples go? They go right back in and start to preach again. They said, wait a minute, didn't we just throw these men in prison for preaching? And they're out there and they're at it again. They were shaking their world and they refused to be shaken. We need that boldness and that power. They went right back on preaching. Stephen was stoned to death in Acts chapter 7. As he was preaching, they were throwing stones at him, and he was ministering and preaching until he died. You could say, oh no! They took our assistant pastor and they took him out and they put him down at the corner of East Washington and Milwaukee Street, and they drove by and threw bricks at him until he was dead. What are we gonna do? They kept preaching the word. They didn't allow the circumstances around them to shake them because they were shakers, not shaken. They were movers. They had power and they had authority. You look all through the rest of the book of Acts, it's one thing after another, all of these things happening to them everywhere they went. They shook things around them. They had the power of the Holy Ghost in them. It was around them. It was flowing through them. When they went to the temple, they shook the temple. When they went to the synagogues, they shook the synagogues. Every city that they went into it with power and authority in the Holy Ghost, and they shook the city. They would go into the small villages and towns, and every village and town they went into, they shook the village and they shook the town with the power of the Holy Ghost and their boldness. Every neighborhood they walked through, they affected the neighborhood that they walked through. Everywhere they went, they laid hands on the sick. Everywhere they went, they prayed with boldness, and the power of the Holy Ghost came and it fell. Because they were shaking their world. When you look at Peter or Paul, I believe it was in Lystra. He was preaching. He was beaten, caught, beaten, almost killed. It didn't shake him. They took him and he recovered from his wounds. And what did he do? He went right back to Lystra and started to preach again. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was preaching downtown and somebody came up and thoroughly beat me to where I spent weeks in recovery, I don't know if I would go back downtown. If I did, I would certainly keep an eye out for the man that put the whooping on me. But not Paul. He had a boldness that I envy. He had a boldness that I desire. He went right back to Lystra and set up camp and started preaching on the street. And the power of the Holy Ghost continued to move because he refused to be shaken. He was the one that was going to do the shaking if anything was going to shake. It was going to be him. If anything was going to take in this city and move, it was going to be the power of the Holy Ghost through him. If anything was going to happen, it was going to be because he prayed and he preached and the power of the Holy Ghost fell. He was strong in the faith. He was strong in the word. He never doubted in God's ability to get him through whatever trial that he was in. And when you look in Paul, when he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 25, he said, 3 times I was beaten with rods. 3 times. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night adrift at sea. A whole night and a whole day adrift at sea. His world was shaken. His life was shaken. But he didn't let the shaking of his life affect him. He still remained the shaker. Every affliction he went through, he came out on the top. He was shipwrecked. He was bitten by a serpent. You don't read where he quit or gave up. All the way to his death, he was still ministering and preaching. And shaking his world around him. We know that we must have that same kind of power today if we're going to be effective in reaching our world like they reached their world. The early church was plugged into a tremendous source of power. A power that enabled them to literally turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ. We can have and we have that same power today. We can be shakers here in Madison, Wisconsin. We can shake our city, not be shaken by our city. It doesn't matter to me what laws they pass and what regulations they pass. As long as I am being used by God and as long as I am living according to the Word of God, I can be a shaker in Madison, Wisconsin. I can be a shaker in Dane County, Wisconsin. I can be a shaker in the University of Wisconsin. I can be a shaker everywhere I go and everything I do. I can shake. I can rock my world. As we move through this city in the power of the name of Jesus, we need to be Holy Ghost rabble rousers. We go downtown and we see all the partying going on at Thanksgiving and all the booze and all of the drugs and all of the different things that's being consumed all in Halloween and all in the spirit of Halloween. We need to go through this city with the same attitude that we're going to take this city. We're going to march down this street. And when we're done, this street is going to be ours. We need to start making it tough for the devil here in Madison and Dane County. We need to take and make a campaign to make it tough on him. We have the power. I've said this and I'm going to say it again. Because we're coming on Wednesday night, we're going to be talking about some futuristic plans. And it's not just some nice things that we'd like to see done. It's something that I know without a shadow of a doubt God wants and desires for us to do. And we are going to do it, but we must be prepared for the battle that is in front of us. We can't win the war the same way we've been fighting it in the past. We're going to have to change our tactics. We're going to have to get bold in the Holy Ghost. When you look this city can be shaken. This city must be shaken. This city will be shaken. Do we believe it? We have the same power the disciples have. All we have to do is plug into that power source that they connected to. If we want to reach Dane County for Jesus Christ, all we have to do is plug in to that power. Plug into that Holy Ghost power. The Holy Ghost power that's keeping you and keeping me alive. It gives us power every day. Power to overcome all kinds of obstacles that are in our way. We have the power. All we got to do is plug in. Plug it in. You can have a spotlight that's a million candlelight spotlight, can shine from here all the way to Black Earth, Wisconsin, but it doesn't do you any good unless you plug it in. You can have all the Holy Ghost. We got to plug it in. We got to plug it in. In the month of January, we're going to take and start off the month of January in a certain focus. I really believe that in order for us to accomplish, and I'm laying some more groundwork here tonight, started a little bit Wednesday night, in order for us to accomplish what God wants us to do, we can't do it without prayer. It's not going to work. It doesn't happen. Because you see, prayer is what causes things to shake. It's in prayer that causes our world to be shaken and causes us to be firm. It's prayer. And in January, we're going to focus on prayer. You see, prayer is the means or the key, the access to all of this power. Prayer is the key to the power. So oftentimes, we pray when we are shaken. We pray when we are shaken by our troubles. We're shaken by our trials. We're shaken by the circumstances that surround us. They prayed to shake their troubles, and they prayed to shake their trials and shake their circumstances. When they prayed, things shook. As most Christians today, we pray. But we pray because we are shaken. We don't pray to be shaken. You follow what I'm saying there? We need to pray, and when we pray, things happen. When we pray, we need to pray with the authority and with the power and with the anointing, and we pray with the power, the authority, and anointing, this city will shake. I'm tired of being shaken. I want to do some shaking. I'm tired of the enemy coming against my brothers and sisters and beating them down with all kinds of nitty, all kinds of little insignificant circumstances and trials. I want to see us rise up and do some shit. When God's people came together as they did on the day of Pentecost, it was a force to be reckoned with. It was a force that rocked the world. The disciples, when you look at them, some 40 days, we're talking 40 days earlier. They couldn't even stay awake for 1 hour to pray with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. That means put 10 more days on last Saturday, Friday night, add 10 more days to it, and back up to the last revival prayer meeting, and that was the spiritual condition of the disciples. They couldn't handle even praying for an hour and a half. After 1 hour, they were sleeping. But what happened on the day of Pentecost? You see, they locked themselves into an upper room and they began to pray. I grant you that Christians today, we struggle with prayer. We struggle with it. I would say that most Christians today spend more time texting their friends than they do talking to Jesus. Think about this. With all of their friends know more about their issues than their Creator knows, because they never talk to Him. We got a Facebook and we tell the whole world everything that's wrong in our lives, but we never get on our knees and say, "Dear Jesus, help me." As if all those 347 friends you have really care anyway. Oh, who's this? I don't know who they are. Well, they know me. I'll be friends with them. I'll be friends with him. Oh yeah, I think I know him. I've never sent them one thing. I'm not their friend. They're really, to be honest with you, they're an acquaintance. They're not a friend. I sit down with a friend. I sat down at lunch today and had lunch with a friend. We talked with friends you talk to. Jesus Christ needs to be more than just an acquaintance or somebody on a Facebook page that you got no earthly idea who they are. He needs to be your best friend. He needs to be your number one, uno numero buddy. He needs to know what your needs are. You need to talk to him. If we're not careful, we can have the same relationship with our Facebook friends as we have with Jesus. He sends us a request to chat. I want to talk with you today, Brother Ben. It's been a while. So he sends us a little chat. Hey, Ben, how you doing? Boy, Jesus. I haven't talked with him in a while. I'm not quite for sure if I should respond to this. So you don't. You've done that. Don't lie to me. You're thinking of someone right now, today, that you did that to. You see, we can't win this war if we don't pray. It's that simple. We need to pray, folks. I like this acronym, PUSH. How many of you know what PUSH stands for? PUSH. Take a guess at it. Somebody don't put it up there yet, Sister Jess. What does PUSH stand for? Pray until something happens. So many times we start praying and nothing happens. Sometimes we pray amiss. God doesn't care if you have a Harley Davidson Fat Boy 1200cc. He don't care. Stop praying about it. Pray until something happens. So many times we start praying and we give up. We give up, Brother Thomas. Why do we give up? Because we haven't learned to chat with Jesus long enough to develop a relationship with him so we would continue talking to him. Remember when if you're in here and you're married, remember your boyfriend, girlfriend, and you were dating and you would go out on a date and it was like 4 hours long and you just talked and talked and talked and then you would drive home. This was before cell phones and you'd get on the phone and you'd call and you'd talk and talk until you got a, oh, if we would just do that with Jesus. Seriously, folks, it's not that hard. I begin to think about this. Going back, I'll get to it. For 10 days, they prayed in the upper room. They pushed. They prayed until something happened. They didn't know what was going to happen. They were just told to go and pray until they were endued with power from on high. They didn't know what it looked like. They didn't know what it would smell like. They didn't know what it would act like. They didn't have any idea what it was. But they continued to push on in their prayer. They began to continue to pray until something happened. And on that 10th day, the Bible says in the upper room that the Holy Ghost fell as a rushing mighty wind. The whole place where they were was shaken. People all over the city by the end of that day knew what had happened. Why? Because they prayed until something happened. We need to continue to pray until something happens in our lives. When we come together as a body in prayer, God can do amazing things. We've been trying this year in our revival prayer meetings to have more corporate prayer. And I'd have to say sometimes things go real well and sometimes things don't go quite so well. And you wonder, well, is it time to maybe give up on this or whatever? And as I begin to pray and God wants us as a body to pray together. There is power in unity of prayer. I don't feel it would have happened at all if Jesus would have said when he ascended into the heavens to go back to the upper room and then decided that instead of going to the upper room, they were all going to go back to their individual homes and pray in their own prayer closets until something happened. I don't think we would have had a day of Pentecost. I think it would have train wrecked. I don't think it would have happened. Why? There's something in the power of unity when a body of believers gets together and prays. There's something that happened. The saints of God were shaking heaven and earth when the body of Christ came together in Acts 12. Peter walked out of prison. Why did he walk out of a guarded prison? Chained from his head to his toes. Chained up to whatever was there in the prison. The walls of the prison. He was chained, and a revival prayer meeting was going on and praying that Peter would be released from prison. And he shows up at the door and knocks on the door at his own prayer meeting and says, "Here I am." And they didn't even believe that he was there standing at the door. It was a prayer meeting going on. It was corporate prayer with the body of Christ. And look what God did. Our prayers can chase away sickness and disease out of the body. When we're down here praying for the sick, if you're back there, reach your hand out and begin to pray for that sick person that has cancer or whatever it may be. Someday you may be staying up here or standing up here, and you may have stage 4 terminal cancer, and you would wish that the whole body of Christ would gather around you and begin to pray for that cancer in your body. Sooner or later it's going to happen. We're all going to die one day. We're going to die from something. It's just something when a body pulls together and works. Pray. Pray for the sick. James 5:14, if there's any among you who are sick, let him call for the elders of the church and pray for him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. When we pray as a body of Christ, our families need to be restored. We need to pray. We have some families in here that are suffering and they need to be restored. We have families that are broken, and as a church, our families should be a top priority in our prayer. God desires for us as a body of Christ to have a strong family. He desires a strong husband, a strong wife, and anointed children. When we pray, we need to pray for our community. As much as sometimes I despise what goes on downtown, I have to pray, God, it's going to change. It's not when it's going to change. I know it's going to change. Because when the power of God touches something, it changes it. The power of God touched your life. It changed your life. Changed my life. You see, we've been put here for a reason. We need to pray for the well-being of our community and for God to work in our community. It's important with an outreach, an opportunity, this Thanksgiving. We need to pray corporately as a church for our Thanksgiving Day dinner. We're going to have people here from all walks of life that are going to come in. And the reason they're here is because they can't afford a turkey dinner on their own. And what better way to show them that Jesus Christ loves them than to feed them a turkey dinner and then witness to them while you're playing checkers? Our Veterans Day. What better way to witness to a veteran than bring him in here? And the emotion of the service. They think they're just feeling emotions. This is an emotional event. But there's something much deeper than that. There's a church that's praying. There's individuals that are praying. And the power of God is moving through the place. And it begins to move upon individuals. What an outreach. I spoke of this at the prayer meeting on Friday night. I got an email from a principal at Kennedy Community Elementary School on the east side of Madison. It's over near Brad and Michelle Clark's house, if I'm not mistaken. But asking for help. Well, this is Madison's school system sending an email to a pastor at a church, asking for help in their school. I don't know where this is going to lead to, but we pray as a body. We want to change the world. We want to change Dane County. Let's start with changing Kennedy School. Let this catch on at Kennedy School, and Sister Jeanette Thunder works at Senate Middle School. Let it have an effect on one school and then another school, and let it reach across our community. You know why it works when we get involved with things? Because we have the power that the other people deny. There's power in the Holy Ghost. There's power in the name of Jesus. When a church faces a need, the church should bow as a body and wage war together. That's why our revival prayer meetings are so important. It's a time where we come together and we get on our knees and we go into spiritual warfare together. I've got your back and you've got mine. You're covering my left flank and I've got your right. And we march through this city in the spirit. And we begin to tear down strongholds that we may not have the power or the ability to do it ourselves, but collectively, each one of us together, we can shake this city. So many times we've been taught that prayer, it's a private thing. I've heard people say, "Oh, I like to get into my prayer closet. I don't want anybody here." There are times when, yes, we need to pray in private. But it is at times as a body, when we're here at church tonight, our altar call, we need to pray together as a body. Spiritual warfare as a body, as a unit. Our U.S. Army doesn't send out, we have small elite SEAL teams, 10, 12 men that go out as a unit. They don't send them out one at a time, one by themselves. They don't do that. They send out a unit, and that unit, everyone in that unit knows the objective. Everyone in that unit knows each other's jobs. Everyone in that unit takes care and watches the back of his buddy. And that's the way we need to be in prayer. We need to watch out for each other, church. There is power in the prayers of the saints of God. When we pray together as a body, we teach others to pray. The best way to teach your children to pray, how our family learned to pray, is my mom and dad, every night we went into their room and we knelt around their bed and they taught us to pray. Our new members, our new babies in Christ need that example to be taught how to pray. They develop a faith when we pray together. We develop faith. We learn to pray by reading the Word of God and praying it back to Him in faith. Friday night, Brother Thomas in the prayer meeting was praying scriptures. You know that every problem you have, every issue you have in your life, I don't care if it's drugs, I don't care if it's alcohol, if you need a healing, your marriage problems, your children, if you have anxiety attacks, if you're depressed, if your finances are a mess, if you're in despair and you have no hope, you have no one that loves you and you're bitter about it all, there's a scripture in the Bible that you can take and read and pray. And it will give you power to overcome. When you pray, you release in the Spirit. Acts 4:31 tells us that when the church prayed, the place was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with what? They began to speak with boldness. It's a whole lot easier to speak with boldness when you know what you're speaking about, isn't it? When we have the power of the Holy Ghost, it should give us boldness. Doesn't mean you go up and you literally blast somebody off the sofa. We need to use a little bit of common sense. But there's a difference between boldness and belligerent. I can be bold in the Holy Ghost and be as harmless as a dove. And we need to learn that. They went with boldness. They were shakers, not shaken. In Acts 12:5, they prayed without ceasing. I've often heard this, pray without ceasing. How in the world do you pray without ceasing? That means without ceasing means I've got to be praying all the time. How do I pray and eat? Do I pray between each bite? How does all of this work? I'm a simple guy. I don't like complication. I get up in the morning and I start to pray when I get out of bed. Yeah, I'm walking around my bedroom. I'm sitting at my chair. I get up and I go in and I pray and I look at the mirror and I take a shower and I pray. Hey, if you can sing in the shower, pray in the shower. I'm praying. I'm talking to God. If my wife was there, I would be talking to her. But my wife's not there. God's there. I say, have a seat, Lord. I'm going to get dressed. We're going to talk. And I talk to him. There have been times I pulled up a chair and said, listen, you stay right there, Lord. Don't move. I can't see you, but don't move. I got some things I got to download. We got to talk about some things. I need some instruction. Help me. I work on my train set. When I work on my train set, a lot of times I'm by myself and I pray. I just be working along and praying along. And I'm not saying, Lord, how do I do this or how do I do that on my train? I'm praying about all kinds of stuff. Praying about you sometimes. I prayed about, Brother Pat O'Malley called me one night and talking to him. And I got done and I went back to working on my train and started praying for Brother Pat. Other times I put it aside. And I pray just to God. Just him and I. You see, when you get up, you pray. When you go to the shower, pray. When you get in your car, pray. As you get dressed, pray. You're driving down to work, you pray. You see, you say, God, how can you use me this day? Lord, when I'm in the lunchroom yesterday, I was talking to Linda. And sounds like she's having some major battles in her family. And we've got this seminar coming up to take and deal with marriage issues and children issues. And pray that an opening would come today where I can take and witness to her. Lord, you know, Bill over there, he's having all kinds of financial problems. We got financial peace. We've got this new ministry where that people need problems and have problems with their finances, they can come in and they can take and get help. Pray God that you would open up a door of opportunity. They prayed everywhere. You see, God is my best friend, and I feel that I can talk to him anytime and any place I desire. I can pull over to the side of the road and I can talk to God. I can pull into a gas station and pump gas and I can talk to God. If people can talk on their cell phones and they're over there having a conversation, why can't I talk to God? They won't know any difference. They think I'm talking on that Bluetooth. I'm Bluetoothing God right now. Another thing about the early churches, they were passionate about their relationship with God. You see, I love the passion of the early church.
We do that here?
I'd rather use this one. Can everybody hear me? There's power and passion. Just tell me what to do, Scott. I got the green one. Can you hear me now? There's power and passion. It's said that a person will never become good at anything until it becomes an obsession with him. That's why people become so good at things. That's why football players are good at playing football, because it's a passion. It's an obsession. They take and you play tennis and you look at the Williams sisters and I was astonished at how many hours a day they spent taking and playing tennis. And Tiger Woods and some of the golf pros, how many golf balls they hit every day, because it's a passion with them. It's an obsession with them. That's why they're so good at it. You see, we need to become obsessed with prayer. We need to become obsessed with souls. We need to love the lost. We need to learn to love one another. I have so many great brothers and sisters here at Calvary Gospel Church. I love every one of you, and I wish you could all come over to my house and we could just sit around and eat deep fried turkey and talk all day long, just to hang out with you all the time. But I know that's not possible. Jesus said to his disciples, by this shall all men know me, that you are my disciples, if you have what? Love. For who? One to another. That means I love Brother Pat and he loves me. I love Sister Moran and she loves me. I love Brother Justin and he loves me. I even love the Bear fans here. There is room in my heart for the Bear fan. I will love Sister Sharon Johnson. Jesus said that his people would be known for their love, that they had one for another, as well as a love for the lost. I pray, God, help me. Help me. I pray this every day. Lord, help me to see the lost as you see them. Help me. Love gives us power. Without love, we will lack the power that God needs us to be effective in the age in which we live. We need to plug in to the power of a genuine, all-consuming passion for each other and for others and for the lost. While the early church was marked by prayer and the love for the lost, they were also, everywhere they went, they boldly proclaimed this gospel. They had power in prayer, power in passion, and they boldly proclaimed the gospel everywhere they went. They were the people of the name. Everything they did in the name of Jesus. In our opening text in verse 33, the word says that great power rested upon the disciples. Power to shake their world, not be shaken by it. I so desire tonight to allow God to use me any way He chooses fit. Use me in the capacity that I have never experienced before. I ran across an old piece and all of my notes. I collect notes all. I got just scads, file cabinets of notes. And I ran across this old piece, and if our musicians can come. I don't know who wrote it. It didn't say, Sister Jessica. It was actually typed out in an old typewriter. And she had to take, and some of the words, they were so faded from the folding, and we had to take and actually kind of guess at some of them. But it says, I am part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Ghost power. The die has been cast. The choice has been made. I have stepped over that line. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back. I won't let up. I won't slow down. And I will not back away. I won't be still. My past is forgiven. My present makes sense. And my future is secure. I'm finished with low living, sight walking, and small planning. I'm finished with smooth knees and colorless dreams and tame vision and chintzy giving and dwarf, puny, tiny, small goals. I don't need prosperity. I don't need position, promotion, or popularity. I don't have to be right. I don't have to be recognized. I don't have to be praised, regarded, or rewarded. I thrive and desire to live my life by faith. Walk with patience the race that is set before me. Lifted by prayer. Lifted by prayer. And labor by love and by passion. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way may be rough. My companions at times may be few. But my guide, Jesus Christ. Oh, is he ever reliable? If you could stand to your feet. And my mission is clear. I know where I have to go. I know where God is calling me. I cannot be bought. I will not compromise. I will not be toured or lured away. I will not turn back. I will not be deluded, deceived, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice. I will not hesitate in the presence of my enemy or negotiate at the table of adversary. I will not ponder at the pool of popularity or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up. I won't let up. And I won't shut up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up. Until I'm called up for the cause of Jesus Christ. You see, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must work until he comes. I must give until I drop. I must preach until all know this gospel. And work until he stops me. Or until he returns to bring me home. Church, we need to be shakers in our world. Not shaken by it. We need the power of prayer. We need a fresh vision, a fresh fire, a fresh passion for Jesus Christ. We need to go boldly and proclaim this gospel. And in doing so, that will allow us to shake our world for Jesus Christ. Tonight, as we approach the end of this service, this altar, I believe in the power of healing. I haven't seen all the healings I would love to see here at Calvary Gospel Church, but that doesn't mean I'm going to stop praying for the sick. I'm going to push on and pray until something happens. I will never get tired of praying for your migraine. I'm going to keep praying until something happens. If you need prayer for your body, come down here and we're going to pray. Believe that the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ can touch your infirmity. If you need prayer, whatever mess you're in tonight, we're willing to pray until something happens. We're going to push through. You've never experienced the power of the Holy Ghost.